Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Tricia Kelly, who has written a book called Spirit Boy. It is in fact a novel, and she tells us that the great thing about it is that it allows kids and teens to see what they are doing and what the parents are doing. And she calls this the like attracts like energy. So, are you there, Tricia?
Yes, I am. And thank you so much, Mike, for having me on today. It's wonderful to be part of your show.
Well, I'm very pleased to have you here. We have a great variety on the program, and the nature of your background and the way you come to write the book and the content of it, I think, is very interesting. You mentioned about writing the book, that you were writing one for teens and young readers as a novel of non-fictional information, which came to you back in 86. And then in 92, you wrote it as a screenplay, which nobody actually wanted to have, probably too early for them. And you now tell us you're about to launch it this week with Amazon, and that was what you told me on the 10th of August. So presumably, it's now just come out.
Yes, it has. It's up on Amazon and it's all running, and I've been getting some more wonderful endorsements, which is really what I was looking for over the last few months, just to get people to read it from all different walks of life, to get their feedback. And I just had got one, which was my current one, from a high school youth advisor who read it, and she just thought it was a delightful read of all ages. It's a story filled with rich characters that carry a positive theme throughout. So that was
all right.
And she was saying the same thing that the others in the education that have read it, that it really does open a child's thinking to think beyond, I'm the victim, it always happens to me, you know, where a lot of children carry that chip on their shoulder, they leave home with it first thing in the morning if they've been reprimanded about something, and don't forget that, and you better not do this, and, you know, all of that stuff, that they carry that vibrational energy to school. And my storyline throughout my book, which is it's a fictional story with a non-fictional theme of the little spirit boy who died, comes back to a playground to save kids that are basically headed for trouble, with two main characters. And they learn everything about the law of attraction through the story, through his eyes, you know, through him being able to tell the others about what they're doing, and, you know, they're going from one fight to the next and things like that. So
right.
That's how I incorporate it.
Yeah. Well, obviously, having read your book, I find it's very inspired spiritually. And a little later, I'd like to talk to you, obviously, about the content. But what was it that happened to you a couple of years ago when you had some major spiritual experiences?
Well, while I was writing the book around that time, back in, what is it, we're nine now, back in sort of 07, and towards the beginning of the year, I was doing a lot of meditation because I was writing a lot, and I find that I need the space to quiet myself because, you know, when you write, you have a lot of chatter in your head because there's lots of characters talking and coming through. They come. That's how I write. They come through very quickly, almost in a form of channeling as well, I assume. So I got into meditating a lot in the afternoon. Before my daughter came home from school as well, I sort of chose that as my quiet time. And I started to receive visitors. Now, the first one that came to me, I always felt light around me and energy around me, as though I call them. I've been struck by lightning many times, not physically standing outside getting lightning, but my body has those energy changes where I jump and I kind of move and I feel the vortex coming over me. Mm-hmm. And so I started to doing these meditations, and as I was just saying, I always felt like in my third eye, I was always like little clouds that sort of like, wow, did I see something? And then because I became so conscious of trying to work out what did I just see, they would disappear. It was sort of going from one state, clicking back into another state, I think, how I would interpret it. But then I had a meditation where I felt the energy coming over me, and suddenly it was the brightest of blue. I mean, just bright, bright blue. And a man's face appeared who was just the full, and when I say it's like a headshot, you know, if you see an actress's headshot, but it was all in color, it was as dynamic as that, except it wasn't frozen like a photo. It was a moving photo.
Yes.
And he smiled at me, and he left. And I rang my girlfriend. I said, I can't believe this. This man just appeared in my meditation. It was like right there. And when I flinched when I saw him, and I went, no, don't go, like, because I knew he was going to leave. Because I'd sort of like had these things where the people just disappear again, where you think you see something, but it goes.
Yes.
And he actually did leave, but he smiled before he left. And I called him my red-headed man because he had red hair and a red goatee. And I didn't realize for about a year until I started researching other people as well that when I saw pictures of Saint Germain, that was exactly how he looked, this man.
Oh, right.
So
yes.
Obviously it was Saint Germain I was seeing.
That would be one with the little tiny beard, and was that version?
Yeah, with the red goatee and
yes.
Because I always said to like a couple of friends, I said, all I know is this man looks like Van Gogh, you know, that painting where he had the red hair
yes.
and the... That was the only person that I knew that kind of looked like that. Not that I thought it was him, but it was later when I started to see all these pictures, I went, wow, that was him. And a few days later, a little old lady appeared sitting in a rocking chair, and she was very interesting.
Yeah.
And then a few days after that, another very bright, they're always in the brightest of blue backgrounds, which is really kind of very different. A man appeared who had a gold brooch on his shoulder, like a cloth going over his shoulder. So I felt like he was sort of, my only vision of him then was like, well, this is from the Roman Empire or something. You know, that kind of a look.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Blonde hair and blue eyes, who I later discovered that I felt like he was Archangel Michael.
Right, yes.
And so that was the two. And then around 4 a.m. I woke up and, actually this happened before this. I was lying on my couch and I had a semi-state. I could feel the energy coming over me, this vortex of energy, almost as though if you can imagine your body, you know when you feel your heartbeat?
Yes.
It's like your whole body is beating. You can feel every part of you pulsating with this energy. And I saw myself lying on a meditation table, and the red-headed man was standing beside me, and the woman, and he smiled at me as if, like, are you ready? Are you ready? And it was, I just sort of smiled at him, and the next thing, I mean, this sounds really bizarre, but the next thing was that he put his hand over my mouth. And as he put his hand over my mouth, my physical body lying on the couch couldn't breathe. And I gasped for breath. I mean, I was sort of like quivered. I went in, I kind of like quivered, and then I just like went, okay, I'm dead now. It was a bit, I wasn't thinking that, but it was like my whole body just went limp. And at the same moment that I went limp, every second, every cell in my body felt like energy that rushed from the top of my body to through my feet. Just in a split second, it was gone. I was just like, zoom. And I found myself in space. and it was the brightest blue, and I'm looking down, and I see the planet Earth. And I realized that I was like had left my body, and I'm looking down. But they showed me another planet Earth, and there was two of them side by side, but one was covered in stars. And I kind of said, I remember, I said, wow, I really believe in you now, Spirit. That was my moment of like the only thing that I was consciously sort of saying and aware of. And then I was back on the healing table, and the red-headed man at that moment, because I really didn't realize who he was, lifted my hand up, and I sat up, and I went, wow, that was pretty amazing. And I opened my eyes, and I looked at the clock, and about 3 minutes had passed since I lay down. And I had experienced all of this, and it took me, I actually fell into a very deep sleep about 5 minutes later. It was almost like I needed the energy to realign myself again because of the experience, I think, was pretty traumatic. Not in a bad way, but just in an energetic way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind of like, during that time, there was another incident where the two characters from my book appeared with their arms around each other and smiling, and just every couple of days people would just appear in like little images, or I saw a clock with 10:10 on it. That was kind of an interesting symbol, or a hand that had a pen in it that would be writing, things like that. And then one more experience that I had around the same time was about 4 a.m. I sort of, just after I'd left my body and had this experience, I thought, wow, I wonder if that's going to happen all the time. You know, like, I wonder where I'm going now. I felt this energy coming over me again. And how I explain to the people the feeling of the energy is, have you ever been to one of those the circuses, or, you know, the showgrounds where they have those spinning wheels and you stand against the wall?
Yes, I've been on one.
Yeah, and the faster it goes, how you just levitate.
Well, you just sit there, yes.
Yeah, and you're kind of like pushed back against the wall because the volume of energy is so strong, holding you there and levitating.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost that feeling. It's sort of like it comes over you in that same way. And I was sort of like, felt like I was like pushed back against my wall. And about 30 mandalas came at me one after another with the brightest blue background, just clicking away, going click, 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 click. And they were just within probably, you know, quarter of a second or half a second, it was just sort of so fast that I was in this space, and the volume that just came at me and the clarity of them was just beautiful, beautiful. And the only one that was different was the word love, which was had this green background. And it was like a 60s picture. It was very interesting. And now, I've had a couple of experiences with energy since, but I haven't had the leaving of the body, and I haven't had the mandalas, which I almost felt like it was like a download of data, of like a kind of a cosmic pattern of some sort. But and how about you, Mike? Have you had those experiences?
I haven't had an experience like that. No, spirits seem to keep me pretty quiet when it comes to, shall we say, psychic experiences. I've had minor ones, but not on the level that you have. So no, I can't profess to have experienced that. But when you mentioned that a little while ago that the characters came through, were you merely talking about their appearance, or that they also came through you telepathically without you seeing them, in other words?
No, I actually physically saw them.
Hmm.
I mean, they're just like as if you... Well, looking at it, the thing about the third eye is that when you get into that stream of consciousness, you're looking at things with your eyes closed. You just see them as though you've got your eyes open.
Mm.
And now I see, I see a lot of little, like, I call them like little videos. They're like little scenes from movies that just play out. And I'll find that I'll start to see them and I'll wonder, like, sometimes I have no idea of what they are. You know, what they're, I see the pictures, but I don't really know what the message is. It's almost, you know, when it's different from dreaming, because dreaming, you kind of wake up and you kind of remember, like you look back and you remember, oh yeah, I remember I saw myself in a, like, da 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 da. But when you're in meditation, you're conscious. It's like a conscious dream because you actually see it happening in
yes.
The little events. It's like the little characters. They just had their arms around each other and they were just smiling. I mean, and they were just, I thought, wow, if I, when I do this as a movie, I know what they look like.
Well,
it's
that's an idea. Yes.
I've seen them as those little characters.
Yeah. What I have experienced, and well, I still do, is that when I go into a certain level of dropping off to sleep, I see coloured pictures in my, what I call my little TV in my mind.
Right.
And I can look around them. If it's a room, I can actually look around them. It's strange. I very rarely see people in them. Often it's machinery or things like that. I don't quite know what the purpose of it is. But it's just a very brief thing. But I nearly always get it just before I go off to sleep. And I try to hold the picture in my mind, but I don't think you have maybe much control over that.
No, that's what I was saying before about when I see pictures like that, when I start to get too conscious of them, or, you know, like what is it, that they leave. It's sort of like when I just sort of try and stay there, that they kind of play out more. And I mean, this has what is the relevance of this? I saw like a dinghy boat, you know, like a small boat, and all I saw the other day was a woman that was in the water, whether it was me or not, being pulled up onto the boat. And I saw this whole little like a little movie clip, and then it went.
Mm.
And then I sort of spent, you know, like about half an hour thinking, well, what does that mean? Like, what is it? What's the purpose of that?
Mm.
And then the only thing that I could come up with that kind of came to my conscious mind was, well, obviously she was pulled out of the water, and what does that mean? She was saved, or she's safe.
Yes.
And
or,
I thought, well, maybe.
Also, for you personally, you could believe that it was an indication that you were going on a journey, possibly.
Well, there you go. You've got threw another spanner in the mix. Yeah.
Right.
But it was sort of like I'm out of the treading of the water. Do you know what I mean? It's and believe it or not, my own life in general right now is feeling much calmer than it has in many years.
That's nice.
And I'm feeling much more at peace. The interesting thing about Spirit Boy is that it was a very easy book to write because it came through me and it just kept coming through me. And I would write it, and then even during the process of editing and things like that, you would reread it, and, you know, I'd let it sit for a few months sometimes and just go back to it because you would get a fresh take on it. And I would read it and I'd go, wow, I wrote that? Like, I don't remember writing that, you know, but I wrote it.
Yes.
But
yes.
It's... And I was learning about the process of the law of attraction as well through the story that I was writing, or relearning it, because I learned it back in the days where it didn't really make sense because I didn't have all of the elements of it.
Mm.
And the information that I received was coming so sporadically from sources, from other sources and reading. It's not like the abundance of information that's out there now.
No.
And
you mentioned... Yes. Carry on.
No, and some of it's very good, and some of it is like as Esther and Jerry Hicks would have said, or Abraham said, you know, the secret, they left the secret out of the secret.
Yes, that's right.
They didn't even allow them to be present of how the secret was written or created or why it was created. Was all about the spiritual part of who we are. And
yes.
That's really what I try and bring into account with people is we're so much more spirit, or we are just as much spirit as we are physical. And as our physical life here, when you do incorporate the spiritual within that, life is just so much richer because you can just create it so much quicker.
You're not dealing
with the density all the time. Things are just moving at a much faster pace.
Now, I believe you mentioned somewhere that you've been on your journey for about 30 years. Has that in part been a spiritual journey in spite of what you've just said?
Well, I was always drawn to, there's got to be something more than this, you know, and there is something more than this. For many years, for like back from when I was in, you know, 16 or 15 or even younger than that. And I don't know whether it's because I had a sister that died when I was a very little girl, when I was 5, and it was always put on that she was an angel, she lives in heaven and she's an angel. So whether you're closely connected with some sort of etheric world because you go through that experience, and as a child you may not have thought about it if you hadn't had anybody die around you, that parents came up and said, yeah, well, she's an angel now, even though that's really not quite what they are, but the image is wonderful. So I wasn't really overly brought up with any kind of religion at all. In fact, probably the experience of my sister dying sort of took my parents away from any kind of religion in any way, because it was sort of almost, I think any parent can go through the experience of feeling that God deserted them because, you know, their child died and how could this happen to such a beautiful child. And so they lost faith. So it wasn't from them that I got this inkling of wanting to know more. But very quick one was when I was very young, 14-ish, there were four of us that went away on vacation, girlfriends, and it was safe back then and, you know, do things like that. And so we were sitting around that night. We had a candle burning and we'd made our little seance that we were going to have and see if we could levitate tables and, you know, anything that we'd found out about the kind of the occult world. And we made our letters out of, we wanted to see if it would spell out words and do the Ouija board, kind of like a homemade one.
Yes.
And we were sitting there and we only had one light on in the house. It was in the kitchen, was just like a wire that had a light bulb, you know, screwed into it with a little plastic cover over the top. It was very primitive. Mm-hmm. It was a very primitive little beach house. And we had a candle burning, and we were all sitting there saying, make the light grow stronger, and spirit, are you here? And make the light grow stronger. Instead of like we were saying about the candle burning brighter, the light in the kitchen completely exploded. And it was like we had to get the little plastic thing out of it, the little metal thing out of it, because the light had completely exploded. And we found another lamp eventually to put in it from the package, and it was a 50-volt, you know, light that just exploded. Yeah. Well, it scared us all to pieces. I mean, we just thought we were in the haunted house after that. And four girls sleeping in one bed because we were scared. So I didn't sort of dwell into a lot of things like that for a long time because it just felt like it was too real. And when in 1986, I had met William Raynon, who channels Dr. Peebles, and Dr. Peebles had a very interesting life as well. Back in the 1800s, he himself was a seeker of spiritual information and wrote two or three books on what he said were channeled information, and also traveled to India. You know, this is by sailing ships. He died in the beginning of the 1900s, and so he was part of the Theological Society. And he had a very interesting funeral in L.A., apparently, too, that has been documented, where Houdini and all of these different people were his friends. But he was an amazing channeler. In fact, he visualized himself the other night in my third eye. I saw him. He appeared. I've seen pictures of him before, and he just appeared, and he smiled. He channeled information, and I saw him for them, well, the two of them, William and him, for 20 years. And I would go and see him two or three times a year. I would have private readings. And I always called him my doctor. I never went to a physical doctor. And he would just sort of scan my energy and talk about energies and healing and what were my blocks and things like that. And I would just work on those elements, which I think is the real future of the health crisis. It's the energy healings.
Yes. What is it you refer to in your book as someone being a student of their higher mind?
How do you become a student of your higher mind is, or being a student? The most valuable thing that I have learned is you are you. And I am me, and we aren't the same, never will be the same. There's no point in me trying to make you me and I becoming you, because we're such separate entities always. And so when you become a student of your higher mind, you just listen to your own guidance. You don't need to know the guidance of somebody else. You don't live with one of the, you see, this is when I was talking about not knowing everything about the law of attraction and what we create for many years, the missing elements that were missing in my life. And one of them was judgment. And this is, to me, probably the most valuable information that I could share with anybody, is let go of judgment of any form. Of anything. And there is no right or wrong. I mean, even as horrific as something that you may witness is, you can't judge it, because you're not walking in those shoes to know why someone would even be motivated to be or think like that, that it's never going to happen. And we all seem to run around and protest and want to change people and, you know, want them to live how we think is the right way to live, which is what just about every fundamental religion is doing on the planet right now, is my way is the only way. And when you let go of that and you sort of say, well, yeah, I can see how that works for them, is a much easier way of going through life. Without creating, no, that's the wrong way. No. If you're in that state still, you just have so much in your life that's shut down. Instead of opening that door and saying, yeah, I can see how that works for them. I can really see how that, why they would do that.
Yes.
It's not something that I want to do, but it's not making a judgment as to how or why they've done it their way.
Do you believe in reincarnation?
Do I?
Yes.
Yeah, I do. And the interesting thing is that I think there are different times when I've been drawn to people because I've had the sense of knowing them before. And I think that, you know, they become... I had this explained once, and this is a very interesting thing, is that through another channel that I spoke to, and I was able to speak to about different, highly evolved concepts and things like that. Well, how does this work? Because What happened was I have a daughter, and my daughter was saying to me one day, and very early in the morning, and I was kind of rushing to get ready and school, and, you know, I have my sort of little timetable, and I do this and do this, and we're out the door. And she said, well, I had a dream last night and whatever. And I said, oh, so what do you want with your toast? You know, like kind of not really taking it in. And anyway, I picked her up later in the afternoon, and she said, you know, I had this dream. And I said, oh, yeah, you were saying. And I thought, well, it must be pretty important because you're still talking about this dream that I haven't taken the time to listen to what the dream is about. So I just sat in the car opposite her, and she talked about this dream where she saw herself as a little girl, and she was 10 at the time. And she'd had this operation on her brain. And as I looked at her, I saw her as my sister who died when she was 10. And the same age. I actually sort of like, I was looking at her, and she suddenly became like my sister, and just for like a few seconds, and I sort of welled up and I started crying. And she said, why are you crying? And I said, it's okay. I said, they're kind of like nice tears, Amber. I said, it's almost like there's something in you that's part of my sister. And I went, wow, is my sister reincarnated as my daughter? This is my feeling. And so during my session that I had with this gentleman, this girlfriend of mine that channels, I call him a man, but I'm not sure, I asked about, was she part of, like, was she, and he said, well, the reason that she was dreaming or had that such vivid dreams was that she was remembering that time as being a relevant time, because she said to me about the dream that everything was okay and they had this huge party afterwards, and it wasn't like a painful experience that she passed on. And I said, was she or is she like my reincarnated sister? And he said, not in the sense that she's the duplicate of your sister, like, you know, coming back, but there's essence of part of, I believe in fragmented souls too, that part of the fragmented soul of my sister is part of the fragmented soul of my daughter. It's not the complete duplicate of another lifetime or anything like that, but there is something that is very strongly connected with my daughter and my sister.
Yes. And I can see, I think I can see what you mean there, that if you have had a life, say, as one particular type of character or personality, and then you pass over and then come back again, you won't be exactly the same as you were before.
No. And I think and my sister who passed on may not have even incarnated again. It may be just fragments of that people, of that being, where like a lot of people will say, oh, I remember being this particular person, and then there'll be a lot of people saying, yeah, but I was him. And then, but no, I was him too, but I was him too, because they're fragmented parts of that energy. And
yes,
so I think that has a lot to do with it as well. I don't think that it is the complete. And if you research people like Saint Germain, you know, and you go back and people have documented his life and all of the different lives that they assume or just feel that he was. I mean, he was a lot of different people.
Yes.
Because before he's elevated to Saint Germain.
Yes,
and,
indeed.
And different lifestyles and different lessons and things like that. So I think that's all relevant too.
Yes. But it is said that we have, as a soul, many different aspects. So that might partly answer the points you're making there.
the fragmented part.
Yes, so, it's being fragmented. Yes,
it's funny because I like playing with dialects and accents, right? And there's a couple of accents that I do that I can just switch into character, and I could talk like them for the next hour and never miss a beat and never miss a phrase or whatever. And one of them is an Indian.
Wow.
And the other is very Irish. But I have to put myself in a space of almost like a little kind of a meditative space before I get there, and then once I click in, I can just stay there. And I used to do it with boyfriends and things, right? Just do it for like being silly.
No,
almost like how an actor does it or an actress does it. But I sort of thought, well, there must be something in my past that this has just flowed through me.
Yes. Yes, I believe that. That's obviously, I guess, what enabled you to be able to switch over so perfectly.
Well,
you didn't have to learn it, no effort.
Yeah, and I think, Mike, when I was just saying that too, is that like some people just have a natural ability to pick up languages.
Yes.
And they just, the dialogue is there, the accent is there, the pronunciation of every little inkling is just naturally there. And another kid can sit in the class and he's dumbfounded by everything. There's nothing that he resonates with it. And I just think that that is part of what comes back. And it's like the virtuoso piano players or the people that just are born with this natural gift of just like, boom, they're here at... and these star children that are coming in now, they just know things a lot easier than...
Absolutely.
I had this thing with my daughter. I would say, why are you working on your homework on the computer and you have a chat open at the same time with a girlfriend, you know, with one of her friends? And then I walked away and I thought, well, you're doing it because you have the ability to do two things at once instantly, because one is not enough anymore, because you're too bored with one that you want two and three things going on.
Interesting.
You know, they're downloading very fast.
Yeah. Now, you touch upon many... as I've called it, sort of spiritual aspects in your book. And you talk about something that possibly interests people, and that is protecting themselves against negative energy. What have you got to say about that one?
Well, I think it's really important, really. I never practice this as much as what I should have. I practice it a lot more now than I have ever done before. And just in one incident, this past year, this financial past year that the planet's been going through, and diseases that sort of like pop up every second, you know, there's one and that sort of dies down and another one appears, because they don't really go away, they just reappear. Is that you have to protect yourself from energies all the time, because so many people are walking around fear-based. And you're just bumping into it all the time. So if the more highly evolved that you become as a spirit and the integration of the both energies, you're much more porous. It's almost like, you know, the concrete that has the porousness in it, you pour water and it disappears. You know, it's not like a glass shield that just sort of the water is running off. It's, you're just taking it on. So you need to put this protection around you to sort of keep the other energy away from you so that you're not picking it up. Like I learned many years ago from one being, he said, there's nothing wrong with watching the news, except when the news becomes part of who you are and you're sitting there going, well, I'm picking up all of this energy as that something happening in another part of the world as though it's my own energy. And when you get to that point, you have to like turn it off and go, okay, I return all of that energy that's not mine to source. You know, just get out. Just get out.
Yes.
I'm not carrying you anymore. I'm not going to walk around all day thinking about what's happening somewhere else, because somewhere else there's always something happening.
Right.
And
what do you think about holding energy around your physical body in your aura, sort of placing it there to keep the lower vibrations away? Is that a method you use?
I use one that I learned from, I like a lot, which they call the bubble effect, is that you bring the energy up through you, you bring the violet rays up through your chakra system, and you just expand it out. You actually can use any color that you want, but it's always better to visualize a color, because then you can see the color. Hold your thought pattern of your hands being outstretched outwards, and put that energy around you. And it's something that I brought up with my daughter just in conversations, because when you grow up close to children, you're like quite conscious and spiritual. You tend to say, well, don't think like that. You know, that's being negative. And I had to kind of get over teaching her that way, so it's easy for me to explain things to her. But I sort of had said to her, you know, honey, when you're out in the world, if you have that sense that something doesn't feel right, I said, put the white light around you. Just say, I want the white light around me, and just bring it around you very quickly. And she went to a concert a few weeks back, and she's just at that age where she wants to be older than what she is, but she's such a trusting soul that it's easy for me to say, okay, you know, go for the experience. But they actually closed. It was down in the Forum in Los Angeles, a big concert, lot of different groups that were playing, and they closed it down. It got really, people were getting really crazy, and she said to me, you know, Mum, it was funny, when I walked in there, I just felt the energy was really weird, so I did the whole thing. I surrounded myself with light.
Yes,
and
yes.
She got out. She actually left before the riot police came in and really shut it down, and the fire department shut it down, and there's all sorts of drama going on. And she called me from the parking lot, and she said, wow, it was really scary, Mum, and people were like really like going crazy. And I said, well, let it go. I said, just think of it as like, well, this was an interesting experience. I don't know if I want to do this again, but I needed to go through this to know what it felt like. And she came home, and she kind of like let it go, but she was telling me that. And so she's told me that a few times. She's been out in the world at 15 and a half and put white light around herself.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I do, funnily enough. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, something that people might not necessarily believe, which you mention in your book, is that you are the creator of your own experiences. How does that happen?
Well, it's once again, you know, you like I don't want to use my daughter as an example all the time, but I will bring this back into reference with her. Is I've spoken to her since she was very young, you know, that you're responsible. If you're going to do something or have a fit or whatever you do in life, it has nothing to do with me. It's you doing it, not me, because I'm not going to do it, and I don't choose to be that person. So the quicker that you teach children that they are responsible for themselves and that we create our own incidences, the better off you can be. And we all create who we bring into our lives, and we all create every situation that's there, and nobody else does it except what we as our own radio station, you know, tune into, or what we as our own magnet, you know, draw to us. I can't draw anything to my daughter. You know, when she goes off into the world and her day in school, I can't be sort of following her around as like the mother spirit, you know, keeping everybody away from who I think my daughter should stay away from, or vice versa. She has to be totally responsible for herself. And in the same way, I am as well. And you create, you know, that's why whatever you do, you create. And you can't say, well, I'm like this because my parents were like that. that's not necessarily true at all. It's you've allowed yourself to become your parents, so you're not yourself anymore. You've lost your connection to who you are. But that all comes back to, you know, a whole other hour of subjects of the way that parents treat their children with ownership. And so they don't allow their children to have those feelings. Those feelings are really important. You know, you want your child to experience outbursts of energy because it allows them and you to know that they're in control of who they are, good or bad. It's an experience.
Indeed. You also mentioned that the universe gives you what you want or need. Now, clearly one can see the law of attraction in that. So does that mean we have to be very careful as to what we desire, what we put our focus on?
You know, I learned this many years ago just from you. There's only the universe delivers two ways, what you desire and what you don't. It's just as simple as that. If you have a fear of something, it turns up. If you have a desire of something, it turns up. The energy is no different. It's what you give your attention to turns up. So if you're vibrating on a fear negative energy all the time, you know, I'm afraid of that and I'm scared of that and, you know, don't do that. And, you know, they're like, it's every 10 minutes somebody's telling you, you know, don't eat this because you're going to get cancer, or, you know, now we all have to run out and have vaccinations because of the swine flu. And you're constantly living in those fears of other people. You create it. And it's like my daughter came home and when the swine flu came out, she said, oh, Mom, you know, there's all the swine flu and everybody, you know, people are dying from it. You know, what if we get it? And I said, well, honey, what if we don't get it? So why are we worried about getting it when we are not going to get it? So let's just not even think about getting it, or just why are we even going there? It's not relevant.
Yes.
And if it becomes relevant, then we'll deal with it. But it's the energy is not worth the drama of thinking about it. But that's, fear is, you know, the false evidence of appearing real is really what fear is. And we get handed that 24/7. And most people go to fear before they go to, what they want. They think about what they don't want.
Mm.
And so that's just a different concept of the new age of thinking, of how you need to vibrate.
Right. Now, something that will no doubt be controversial that's in your book is that everything in life is free.
Everything in life is free. Everything, yeah, it is. Because there is, we're a free spirit and we create. So it's not like, if you want to become a successful author, say, or, or any kind of industry, it's free for you to be there. I mean, it's there for you to take, but there are stepping stones that you have to be there. You can't just wake up one morning and go, oh, well, wait a minute, here's my manuscript. Because where did it come from? You have to go through the stepping stones of writing it, of creating it, of taking the experience of downloading it, and forming it, and doing all of those energies in joy. Because the passion of the excitement of it is free. And that freedom of just being able to do it through that joy will create it to go to the next step and the next step and the next step. And that's why when I say, you know, in the sense of it being free, everything's there for the taking. But, you know, you have to, like, you just can't walk out there and go, well, every day is free. I'm going to go and buy my lotto ticket. It's free. And, you know, here's my $1 million. Because there's stepping stones of what leads you to those places. And also timing. And if you had, I don't know how much time we have left on
Not too many minutes.
Yeah. I came to America many years ago after meeting a man in Australia, but what happened was that I really wanted to go somewhere else, but I couldn't change my ticket that was actually a free ticket in the Philippines to go to Indonesia. So I ended up going to Australia and I met him. Now, had I done what I wanted to do and gone to Indonesia, I would not have met him because my timing would have been different.
Yes,
so there is divine timing, and I think there is a little kind of a funny joke that I read in Spirit Speaks many years ago that God answers prayers three ways. Yes, yes, you can have it. Yes, you can have it soon. No, because I have something better down the line.
Yes.
And so which one would you choose?
Right. Now, I will stop you there just for a second or so, because we are getting near the end of the program, and in the last minute I need to announce next week's guest. So tell our listeners how they can get hold of your book.
Well, my book is, the easiest way is to call, it's called Spirit Boy, and it's on Amazon. And so Spirit Boy is there, and then my website that I have different information about me is TrishaKelly.net, and that's T-R-I-C-I-A, Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y.net. And I am having another book coming out very soon that's what I call Spiritual Psychology, and it's a New Age Manual of Positive Parenting. And it goes into all of the parenting subjects that I've discovered and are very helpful bringing up teens and things like that, and why teens go out of control for a start.
Right. I'm going to stop you there, Cherry, because we heard
Thank you so much for the hour. It's gone by really fast, and I'll let you introduce. Okay.
It's been very interesting talking to you. I would say without a shadow of a doubt, you've been very inspired over the years to write a book that you were clearly destined to be involved in. And the help that Spirit has given you on the way has clearly ensured that you are going to be successful. So certainly wish you success with Spirit Boy. And if that is a success, then no doubt your second one will also be. So thank you very much for coming onto the program. I'll now announce to my listeners that next week I have Terry Daniel, who's written a book called A Swan in Heaven. Conversations between two worlds, and it's written from her perspective as a mother who communicates telepathically with her son, who died at the age of 16 from a rare degenerative disorder. And I can tell you, having read the review of the book, it's extremely interesting. So thank you for being with me today. I do hope you can be with me next week. God bless you all. Thank you.